Call to order the September 11th Atascadero City Council meeting. And before we have the Pledge of Allegiance, I would like to take a couple minutes or a few seconds of silence and honor the people that sacrificed their lives on 9/11 in New York when the United States of America was attacked. I'd also like to recognize the soldiers that have been killed protecting our country and our rights. And also some of the people that we don't normally talk about, and those would be the disabled veterans that come back that have served our country. So if you'll join me in a few seconds of prayer, I would appreciate it. Fine, thank you. God bless their souls. Tom, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Thank you.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good. We have the roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. And tonight, we have some presentations. First would be a presentation by the Friends of the Library on the Atascadero Public Library status report and interior renderings.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Is this on? Okay. I'm Grenda Ernst. I'm president of the Friends of the Library. And this evening, we have a PowerPoint presentation at your request to give you an update on where we are in the campaign to expand to the new library building. I would like to introduce some distinguished guests that we have with us this evening. Brian Reynolds, who is the director of the library system in San Luis Obispo County, and Greg Ravat, who is the architect for our project. And then we have Kay, who is our librarian at our own local library. Before we begin the PowerPoint presentation, which is going to be done by Eileen O'Grady, we have something special this evening. Brian Sturdivant, as you know, was one of the wonderful dancers at Dancing with Our Stars. And as part of his appearance at Dancing with Our Stars, PG&E has given us an award of $5,000, thanks to Brian's effort. So they're here this evening to present us with a big check. And if you'll bear with us, we'd like to take a picture and do that. We have Tom Jones from PG&E and Natalie Schaefer from PG&E. And Brian, if you'll step around, we'll take a picture.
Tom Jones is supposed to be a pretty good dancer too, right?
Well, I got a little ahead of myself there. Could I have a approval for the agenda?
So,
second.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Fine, thank you. Next on the presentations, I think, Kurt, are you going to be making...
We're going to have the PowerPoint.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have the Friends of the Library presentation. Good evening. My name is Eileen O'Grady. I'm Friends of the Library Vice President and Fundraising Coordinator for the new Atascadero Library Project. Granda and I appreciate the city's request for updated information about the project. It's been about 6 months since we came before you to speak about it, and we have made significant progress in the last 6 months, so we're happy to talk to you about it. There's three sources of information for you tonight. There are color renderings on the two posters in front of you. One is the entrance, and the other is the family and children's area of the library. We passed out some enlarged copies of the updated floor plans for the City Council and city staff. So as we get to that part of the PowerPoint, you might want to look at those and see if you have any questions about it. And then finally, we have a PowerPoint program to share. I want to thank one of my committee members, Marguerite Pulley, for creating the PowerPoint for us. And I'd like all the fundraising committee members who are here tonight to raise their hands so you can see who's working on the project. And some of them, okay, there's more than that. Some of them have been working for 3.5 years on this project. I'm proud to say it's a 100% volunteer effort. Just to give you a little bit of context in case there's anybody listening tonight who isn't familiar with our project, the location of the building is right across the street on Capistrano Avenue in the Hotel Park development in the heart of our downtown. The building was purchased by San Luis Obispo County in December of 2010. There it is. You'll see it looks very beautiful and finished. However, the interior is not finished, and that's why there is a fundraising campaign going on. Friends of the Library entered into a 50-50 partnership with San Luis Obispo County, and our share of the fundraise, 600 to 700 people every single day, except Wednesdays when we have 800 to 1,000 people every day. It's the most popular place in Atascadero. So clearly our population has outgrown our small building. As we go through the PowerPoint, please let me know if you have any questions and we can stop. Okay, I'm not sure how well you can see this, but this is an isometric view of the library. As you walk in the front door, immediately on your left is the Friends of the Library bookstore, and then most of the rest of the left side of the drawing is the children's library. On the right side, there's the adult library, and right in the front area is the teen area. Okay, this is a diagram of the first floor, and if you look at the enlarged drawings that you have in front of you, you can see what I'm talking about. You come in the front entrance. Right in front of you is a circulation service area desk. Right behind that will be a beautiful donor tree representing our larger donors, and we have a drawing of what that's going to look like later on in the presentation. To the left of that are some library offices, then there's a women's restroom and a staff work area. All the area in front of that is the children's library. It will be a beautiful, new, fabulous children's library. On the right side, there will be two group study rooms along the back wall. We have no such study rooms now. So when people do literacy tutoring, they can't do it in our library. We're going to correct that. Then there's the men's restroom. There's the adult reading area on the back wall on the right. In the middle, there's a media browsing area, and there are computers. We're going to double the size of our computers so people won't have to be limited to half an hour online. Very hard when you're looking for a job. The front area is mostly the adult area stacks, but on the left side, around the elevator, is the teen area. We don't have really a teen area. Now we're going to have a lovely space for our teens to meet. Are there any questions about the first floor? Okay. Please turn the page, and I'll advance this. On the second floor, we have 4,000 square feet, wonderful space for that. So we'll have two separate areas, a small area and a larger area. There's also a small kitchen up there, so if a group wants to use the space for an event and wants to serve food, they can reserve the kitchen and use that space as well. There's also a staff lounge there, and there are large restrooms which were necessitated by the larger community room. If we have 100 people up there, we need a larger restroom space. The other side is going to be used for county offices. There will be offices for the county assessor, building and planning, and the county clerk. So they will have the middle and left side of the second floor area. Any questions about that? Okay, I'm going to keep going. This is the interior color scheme that has been selected. Our beautiful carpet doesn't show up very well in this photo, I'm sorry to say, but it is a very rich looking, it is very high quality. It's carpet squares, so that if there something happens, we can pull the square up and put a new one down. And there will be accent squares that are available, for example, in the children's area. We can use the terracotta and green squares to kind of break it up and brighten the space. Most of the walls will be an off-white color. There'll be a tan used in the teen area and a green in the children's area. On the right side, that tile up there will be in the bookstore area, the Friends of the Library bookstore, and the darker color will be in the lobby. Okay. Whoops. Okay, this is the timeline we are working on, and our project is on schedule, I'm happy to say. Our goal has always been to open in our centennial year next year. Right now, the architects are completing the construction documents, and they are being reviewed and checked. That process takes a couple of months. It's a very thorough checking and review process. Bids will be taken in November for the project, and we expect construction to begin probably in late January. Our goal is to complete the library project early in October. Then, of course, we have to move everything, and we hope the library will be opening its doors for the first customers in the middle of October of next year, so just a little over a year from now. $359 left to raise of the $2 million Friends of the Library needed for its share of this project. The other, you can see that the funding is exactly the same for Friends of the Library and the county. The county has already set aside their funding for the project. We're the ones who needed to raise the local share to make the 50% match. The other figures are the figures that we have available. Any questions about that? Due to the many generous donors we have, all of these areas of the library have been sponsored. Our community room, our bookstore, our children's library, our adult library, our community conference room, and our tutoring rooms. And these are the areas left to sponsor. The tutoring room at the bottom has already been sponsored since this slide was created. But all of the other areas, technology, teens, circulation, and the second floor lobby, all are very prominent areas where someone who would like to leave a legacy donation to Atascadero could be recognized, or someone who wanted to honor a loved one could recognize that person.
Question for you. Going back a page, we are all curious to see which room will be named for Ms. Rue, who is a very generous sponsor in our community.
Well, actually, there will be two areas. I'm so glad you asked. The Friends of the Library bookstore area, many of you know that Alice has managed the book sales for years and years and years and will continue to do so. So she was very happy to have her name go on the Friends of the Library bookstore area. And right when you come in the door, you will see the Alice Rue bookstore. So thank you for asking. Also, because she made two very generous donations, one of the tutoring rooms is going to be named in honor of her parents.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? So those are the areas that still need sponsors. These are the areas where we will be giving permanent recognition in the new library. Have received or are receiving lovely plaques to hang in their business locations, and we hope other businesses will be encouraged by their example. We have over 120, I think we have a couple more since this was created, people, individuals, groups, others who have become founders with a $1,000 donation. Although that's quite a large amount of money to donate, many of our founders are people of very average income who have chosen to pledge donations of $100 a month for 10 months, and we're very happy to receive pledges in those amounts.
One other question, if I may. I think Lon Allen started that, didn't he?
He did. He was one of the first. Actually, Don Clicker claims a hand in it as well. He was the first to ask if he could pledge $100 a month, and then Lon publicized it for us became known as the Allen Challenge. So,
well, my question was, is what I hear you say is, if you're at one of those levels, you can graduate up by contributing the difference and move up to a higher level of sponsorship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We welcome people to jump up a little higher or to join us. All of these will be listed in the prominent area of the new library that I described to you that's right as you come in the entrance on the back wall. And donations may be made in honor or memory of another person or persons, a parent, a grandparent, whomever you wish. This is the architect's rendering of what the donor tree will look like, and we'll be very happy to add leaves to the tree. There'll be different color representations for different levels. It will be obviously a very prominent place right in the front entry, and it will be a very dramatic representation of the level of generosity in Atascadero. I think it will be very impressive. Many people are already impressed by the level of donations in our community. Okay, so where we are right now, we're calling this our countdown to construction phase. We have a few months left before construction begins, and we need help to finish out our fundraising at all levels. You know how some people just like to wait until it's near the end and they can put us over the top? Now's the time. So in addition to raising money for this new library, Friends of the Library supports many existing services. All of the children's programming is supported by Friends of the Library. All of the Express books, which are the new books, that money comes from Friends of the Library. So we're doing that as well. It's just really important to maintain everything we have going while we're trying to raise money. So we really need memberships. October is going to be, we're getting the jump on the national elections here. We're voting in October because we're going to be making the formal announcement of our Dancing with the Stars dancers. This next March, on March the 9th, will be our fourth annual event, and we encourage people to vote early and often, and they can start earlier this year with the voting at $5 per vote. In November, we're going to be unveiling what we're calling a giving tree, and we will have a tree set up in the library, and the ornaments will be things that are needed in the children's library. A great deal is needed in the children's library in order to furnish and equip it. So there will be things like sponsor a shelf, there'll be tables, there'll be chairs, there'll be all those kinds of things available in the form of an ornament. So a family could go in and select something from the tree and make a donation so that it happens. The shelving in the children's library alone is $45,000. So libraries are really expensive to furnish and equip. In December, we'll be celebrating. We'll have our final open house at the library building, the new building, before it closes for construction. And we're going to invite everybody in the community to come. It'll be on December the 9th, a Sunday afternoon. It'll be a chance to see the plans, ask questions, have some refreshments, listen to music, etc. The plans are developing for that. So That pretty much brings our presentation to a conclusion here. I just wanted to tell you how excited we are that we are so close to opening a brand new library. We're happy for all of our citizens, for our young families, for our seniors, really for everybody that they're going to have the space and the resources they need in our new library. And I also want to thank all of our generous donors throughout the community for the commitment they've already made. And to tell you, of course, that we need a few more donations, large and small, to top it off. And tax-deductible checks in any amount can be mailed to Friends of the Library.
...of our disaster response truck, which was all funded by volunteerism and what have you. And it's just great to be part of a community that comes together like that. Also, at the same time, I'd like to recognize Jim Patterson there, our county supervisor. Jim was very, very instrumental in getting this off the ground with the acquisition of the building out there. Jim, we really want to thank you for your support for Atascadero and helping us put this together. I don't know if it would have happened without you, but I think on behalf of the whole city council, we want to thank everybody in the community for the efforts that have gone towards this project. And I'll go down the row here. Jerry, do you have anything to say?
No, you said it all, Bob. I absolutely agree with you, and it amazes me the volunteerism and the project that we get done, you know, without city money and so on. So it's great.
I think you've chosen a great location. The building is very attractive. I think it's going to be a real asset to Atascadero. I think you really are deserving of praise for all the hard work that all of you have put into this.
Thank you.
I would just say thank you.
I would say thank you very much for all your hard work and for your vision and for your passion. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of our whole committee, I thank you, and I certainly join you in thanking Supervisor Patterson for his efforts.
Thank you very much. Next presentation will be by our Fire Chief Kurt Stone.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Tonight I'm pleased to have Michael Stornetta come forward. Michael's being recognized by the state of California, the JAC, or Joint Apprenticeship Committee, for some significant training achievements on his part. And basically, it would become a driver operator and a certified pump or a certified engine operator. And with that, I'd like to present the plaque and then offer him to say a couple of words. This is presented by a combination of the California Fire Marshal's Office and the Joint Apprenticeship Committee, as I stated earlier, and it's certifying Michael as a certified fire engineer.
Congratulations.
Michael said he'd be pleased not to make a comment and wanted to offer it to the mayor if you'd like us to come up for pictures.
Certainly, you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, I believe Chief Stone has another presentation.
Mr. Mayor and Council, I'm really excited about this reward, and I would actually like Captain White to come up, and Bill White and I will be co-presenting this. Jim, if I could have you start the video. We're going to show you a short video clip, and then Captain White's going to discuss the fire as he was the initial IC on this fire at Bordeaux Complex.
Now, I initially heard an explosion, a boom, looked out the window, and we saw black flames coming up from over the roof.
A scary scene in Atascadero. At least four people are now without homes after a fire ripped through an apartment complex. The two-alarm fire broke out at the Bordeaux apartment complex in the 9300 block of Bocina Lane in Atascadero this afternoon. Now, when fire crews arrived on scene, they say four units were already completely engulfed in flames. Hope Hanselman was at the scene, and she joins us now live in the San Luis Obispo newsroom. And Hope, we saw the photos. They're very dramatic pictures and video. But most importantly, is everyone okay?
Kathy, they are, but like you said, it was very dramatic. Those neighbors say the flames spread very fast. It very well could have been deadly. But Atascadero Fire says no serious injuries were reported, and that comes as a thanks to some very brave neighbors.
Yeah, like kaboom, like propane tank, oxygen tank.
It was like a huge, like, pop.
Neighbors of the Bordeaux apartment complex watched as fire crews fought to keep flames under control.
I mean, you could feel the heat from a good 100 feet away.
But as residents ran out of their buildings, one man ran in.
So I looked outside and I see smoke over the hill there, over the buildings.
Dave Guarena heard a man calling to his mother still inside a flaming apartment.
It was humongous. It was, I mean, it's something like you see on a movie. It was just so unreal to me.
And the worst was yet to come.
So I immediately ran down here, and as I'm running, I hear the explosion.
And then the trees just blew up into flames, and it just spread from one apartment all the way across.
Guarena could only get about a foot through the door.
So I see the lady coming closer, and she's kind of bewildered, you know. And I'm yelling at her, come on, come on. And she's, my cats, my cats.
He had just a fire extinguisher to clear his path.
I could reach in, grab her arm, and yank her out.
Guarena arrived just in time.
You could hear some going.
That's when the third explosion hit, shooting flames.
Live and local in the San Luis Obispo newsroom, Hope Hanselman, KSBY News.
Thank you, Hope. Just amazing no one was hurt there. Now the Atascadero Fire Department is reminding everyone to check their smoke detectors. They say that some of that damage could have been prevented. And moving.
At KSBY, we're more than just local news and entertainment. We're a local
Mayor,
business,
City Council,
just like yours. We understand.
Like the chief said, my name is Bill White. I was the first in officer on this fire. It actually came over the 911 call as a smoke check. And as we were pulling out of the engine bay, we could see this large column of smoke. And I knew that it wasn't just a smoke check. It was actually a working structure fire, so much so that when it came over as the Bordeaux house, I immediately called a second alarm, which is typically reserved for the first unit has to get on scene first. But knowing the true volume of fire that was already involved in the apartment complex, I went ahead and made that call. As we arrived on scene, we had over four apartment complexes that were fully involved. And fire burning through the roof, so much to the point where the radiated heat, and I think that the mayor can attest because he was there, you could feel from several hundred feet away. Fortunately for us, we are equipped with special gear that is designed to take that heat. We wear respiratory protection, all sorts of things like that to protect us, to make us move into that. So when we approached this fire, our initial concerns were the spread of this fire to adjacent exposures, and knowing that the volume of fire that was already present when we got there, there was no chance of survival for anybody that would have been possibly in that apartment complex. So it wasn't until after we had the fire extinguished that we realized that we did have a citizen hero among us. And I'd like to have Dave Guarena come up to the podium here. Dave is also a star on KSBY that you saw here. He truly is a brave act. Short sleeve, T-shirt, that kind of heat, pumping out of that area and save that woman's life. He actually pulled that woman out using just fire extinguishers. And fire extinguishers don't have any heat-suppressing capabilities. A fire extinguisher is designed to smolder a fire. It doesn't take any heat out. So he was just basically putting a blanket of extinguishing agent in front of himself to pull this lady out. And if it wasn't for his fast action, we would have had a fire fatality. So we'd like to present Dave with a Citizen Hero Award and give him the opportunity to say a few words.
And the real reward was that no one was hurt in this fire. And this is just icing on the cake. Thank you.
Great job. Great to have citizens like that in our community. Next on the agenda is, well, maybe 9 months or a year ago, Councilman Clay came up with the idea maybe we ought to renew the family day at the lake on the 4th of July. He was talking about it over there, and I stepped up and said, well, heck, Jerry, I'll help you. And we started the mission. It started off a little rocky, but we did get a lot of volunteers within the community that came on board to help us along with the other council members with their approval. In fact, that day, all of us were out there participating in that day. There are a few people that we would like to recognize that did make it a great day at the lake. So I think Jerry and I will go up to the podium. And we ask you all to stay because after we give the presentations, we're going to take about a 10 or 15 minute break and we'll take some photos.
Actually, in about 4 months before the 4th of July, it was just an idea. We didn't have $1. We really didn't have a lot of support, to be very truthful. We to start with, it was like, gee, there's not enough time. We've got no money. Who's going to do it? And this and that, and so on and so forth. But the bouncy things, the breakfast, the 10K and 5K run. I mean, it was an amazing day. So we had three bands that played out there, and they got a lot of action, a lot of great comments, and the council and their wives and everything just fell through and did a heck of a job for us. And so we want to acknowledge some of these folks today, and we're going to do it again, okay? It's on the agenda at the end, and the council is going to approve it, right? So anyway, we're going to do it again next year. So anyway, I think... Sue and Andy McMean, the carousel, if you've ever seen it, can you come up, Sue? If you can't, wait. Sue has been very sick, and if she can make it, if not, why, Andy, come up, and we'll just acknowledge her right there. Oh, here we go. You got her. I mean, these two were amazing. They put that carousel together. What did it weigh?
I think the main part of it was 3,000 pounds.
Right.
And it takes about 6 hours to bring it from their house over to the lake and set it up. And Doug Portney from Portney Construction, who I don't believe is here this evening, actually assisted them in putting it up and taking it down. And it was just a great deal that the McMeans did. I know that evening I left the park about 8:30, and Andy was still giving rides.
Yeah.
And I said, you got to be tired. And he said, I just love the look on the kids' faces.
Yeah, right.
Doing it, and I think you took in over $250 worth of donations that they gave to the Zoo Society.
Yeah, that was
so
neat.
It was one of their premier deals that we had at the lake, and we really want to thank you guys.
It's amazing, and the kids just enjoyed it. And the other thing is Tuesday night in the park, they set it up before, and they were doing it on Tuesday night in the park too. And they started 8 o'clock, and I was the same way out there at 8 o'clock, and they're still running that carousel. And somebody come by and said, you know, just the look in those kids' eyes is enough for to show what a great day this was in the lake. But Andy and Sue, we just appreciate it. We want to acknowledge it. Oh, did you fine?
Can you give this to the Portney? Do
you see that? Yeah, right.
You know, this is just, as we go through the whole evening tonight, it's just another example of what a great community that we live in. All of this that was volunteers. Nobody made a penny on any of this. And they didn't charge a penny. They did this all on their own. And it's a tremendous effort if you look at the machine that they have there and what it takes to set it up and take it down. We're truly... Operator, if you folks would come forward.
Yeah. Go ahead. You do that.
Okay. I think if you read in the papers, you'll read several stories about Joe's little train. Joe shows up at Winter Wonderland, Paso Robles, all over all sorts of different events. And once again, at no charge to anybody, they do take donations when they bring Joe's little train out. And I'm a member of the Elks also, and they have the Purple Pig Foundation up there. And these donations are put towards the disabled kids. And from the donations of Joe's little train, there's been a couple $1,000, I think, that Joe has donated from the donations out of the little train. Has never taken a penny to maintain the train or anything. Don is, Joe's getting a little older than the rest of us. Don goes over and helps him with it quite a bit. and operates it. And we also, so we have a proclamation for Joe and his wife Barbara here. We want to thank you, Joe, for everything you do in the community. Really appreciate it. Don, we want to thank you for all your help.
Thank you very much.
With Joe and the train. And then we also have one for the Elks Club because the train runs on several people loading the kids and unloading the kids. So we want to recognize the balance of the Elks Club, too.
Thank you
very much, and hope you're there next year for us. And Winter Wonderland again, too.
Thank you. That's for sure.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, next, we want to acknowledge Don Cross. Don has a... It's Donald, right? Yeah, okay, it's Don to be, but it's Donald tonight, all right? But anyway, he has an amazing PA system. You know, I mean, he's quiet. I never realized what he had going, but he had a wonderful PA system for the whole park, and he started it out, I don't know what, he got there at 6 in the morning, right? Yeah, and I've seen him at 8:30. He was packing up. I said, "Need a little help?" He said, "Nope, I got it." But the other thing is, Brian Sturdivant helped him all day, and they played music and they announced things for us. And I didn't realize, but someone came up to me and they said, "You know, that would cost you $1,000 if you were to, you know, hire somebody to do that." I said, "You're kidding." So anyway, he donated $1,000 to our program. But Don, thanks a lot, and I hope you're going to be there next year for free, okay? All right. All right. Yeah, you bet. Hey, next, we're going to... Franny Falcone. Okay. Is Franny here?
Her brother is here.
Oh, okay. Come on up. Into it, and then we got in the live egg contest thrown away. You know, they enjoyed that, too. We had a tug-of-war, and after the tug-of-war, the parents said, "Hey, we want to do that." So we had a parent tug-of-war, and... It was great, and Franny did all that for us, and we really appreciate it. I know she's in Sacramento, right? Yeah, we'll pass it on to her.
What was really incredible about her is we would have our meetings, and we would come up with some ideas, and she says, "I've already done it. I've got it done."
Yeah.
So she was ahead of Jerry and I, which probably isn't too hard to do.
That's true, especially walking. Okay, well, thank you.
This is for Franny.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, go for it.
I just want to quickly say, our family and anyone who worked with Franny can attest how hard she worked on everything. So I'm very thankful that the community was able to recognize that.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Thank you.
What? Okay. One of the best things she did was she got a frozen pie for Tom O'Malley. He had a heck of a time. He did okay. I think it was a prank. But anyway, we'd like to have Steve Martin come up and. Come on, Steve. Come on, boy. Hey, now, Steve, you know, he did this outside of his duties and said, "Hey, this isn't part of what I do for the city or for Main Street, but I want to help with this." And he also said he'd do it again next year, right, Steve? All right. Hey, see, there you guys all saw that, right? Okay. Uh-oh, clarify. But Steve, thanks. And, you know, that whole day, he was out there the whole day and just walking around and doing things and counting people and talking, and it was a long day, right, Steve?
It was
a very long day. But Steve, thanks so much. Yeah, you made it happen, and you know, kept us on the right track and everything. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Yeah, okay. Okay, well, Al Fonzie isn't here, and, you know, I really think he's just chickened out, if you want to know the truth. I hope he's watching, because he doesn't like to be recognized. But
Roberta can pick it up for him.
I understand that, but I want to get on Al a little bit, because he did an outstanding job. You know, he's a military guy, so I'm just flexible as all heck, and everything goes all over the place, and he's trying to keep me in line and, you know, keep things straight and all. And he did a great job. He was out there the whole day, you know, did his thing. He got the explorers involved, and he just did a great job. And again, I'm going to credit him. It never would have happened if it wasn't for Al stepping right up here and saying that we got to do it. So, Roberta, you got. Then we want to acknowledge Kiwanis. Jim, why don't you come up and get the Kiwanis steel? Oh, we got a. Oh, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. Oh, Pat's here. He's the prez. My goodness, we got the big time. But they provided the lunch and did a heck of a job for us and a lot of other stuff. Pat, I'm sorry, I didn't see you out there.
That's all right. That's all right. Jerry.
Yeah. But thanks so much.
Wore my 4th of July shirt.
There you go. And you got a Tom O'Malley button. Huh? Well, we won't get into politics. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, like that. But anyway, and we got a lot of Kiwanians. They did a heck of a job. And thank you so much. We have
Pat was there from day one, and I think attended all the meetings, and once again, very instrumental in the whole day coming together. It was a coordinated job of everybody, and we really want to thank you and your club.
Okay. All righty. And then the Lions Club did the breakfast, and which was great. Yeah. Is Bruce Knuckler one of the Lions Club folks here by any chance? I don't see him, but they did a really good job on the breakfast. And, you know, there was some misunderstanding that everything was going to be free, and some people come and thought the breakfast was free, and they just let them go on through, you know, what the heck. And they said really all they wanted to do is break even, but they provided a great breakfast, and they were a good part of it. But so we want to thank Bruce Knuckles and the Lions Club for what they've done, and someone will get them their certificate. Okay. You want to do the Elks?
We already did the Elks. Okay, I gave that to them. Next will be the Explorers.
Okay, we have the Explorers, and you're going to read those names, boy.
Yes, we needed a little help throughout the park, and we had our Explorer Scots from the police department that came out there and helped us. We have David Antunes, Ian Winnington, Shannon McCoy, and Dana Pontes. And I think we want to thank Officer Scott Pippen. I think he is the leader of the Explorer group. It's a really young group that we're very proud of in our city. We're very proud of our police department, and you guys are outstanding citizens, and we want to thank you. I don't know who is who.
David.
David, right on top. Great. Winnington, you got your name tag. Thanks.
And here's my hope that some of you end up on our police department, because that's the goal, right? You want to be in that area. So we're wishing you the best of luck, and thanks. So we're going to need you next year, too, all right? So hang in there. Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand.
And of course, we want to go to the top and thank our chief for having this program within our police department. I think it's a very important part of our community to get the youth involved, and we want to thank you, Gerald.
We got to do Kennedy,
yeah, we got two for the Kennedy.
Okay.
I think there is a representative.
Is there a representative from Kennedy Nautilus?
Yeah.
Come on down. Boy, this was great. You know, they started out and they were hoping that maybe they'd have 45, 50 people in their 10K, and looks like you're not going to be running today, though. But
I want to thank you. It was a healthy thing for our city, and it also brought families together at the park. We want to thank you, and maybe you can thank Kevin, too.
All right.
Yeah. And I can't believe after they run 10K, they still have a smile on their face. With, you know, but thank you so much. I guess, is that it? You did it all? Yeah, here we go.
Once again, we want to thank everybody, and I think at this time we'll take maybe a 10-minute break, and everybody that received a certificate of appreciation, if you could step up to the front, we'd like to take some photos of everybody. Thank you. Please take your seats. We'll reconvene the city council meeting. Next on the agenda is the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff.
And Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is updates from the city manager.
Mayor and council, we have a couple of things to share with you. Really good news. Actually, Mr. Mayor, I think you're pretty familiar with this one. The new hotel continues to proceed along. Westar Development today has submitted plans as expected for the 130-room, four-story hotel. It's the building in orange, and there's a couple of outbuildings, about 18,000 square foot of additional space that are shown in the two tan buildings. Staff's been in communications. I'm glad to say the business-friendly climate the council's created, we've been responding in under hours as they've been requesting additional information. The project will go to the DRC this month in September and be on to the Planning Commission early October. So we're in the process of drafting the agreements that we've already talked about. Also, the Climate Action Plan, you'll talk about it later in the agenda, but I just want to point out that the San Luis Air Pollution Control District is moving forward with that. It's a countywide program, so we're involved. One of the first steps was to analyze or to create a gap analysis that they did, and we had significant disagreement with, and Callie Taylor from our own staff and Community Development Department did a very good response, and APCD is going to reevaluate our numbers because we didn't think they gave us credit for the programs the City Council has already put in place, as well as the different unique attributes to Atascadero. And lastly, let me brag again about our bocce ball court. I think many of you went to the opening of the bocce ball. We now have three new bocce ball courts, much like we've been talking about all night tonight. This was a completely volunteer project, maybe over $100,000 worth of work. Certainly, if it would have been publicly bid, we think it would have been more than $80,000. The North County Adaptive Recreation Organization procured more than $25,000 in materials, equipment, donation, and volunteer labor. There's even scoreboards out there now. I understand none of the council members won any of the tournaments, but it's a really great addition to our community center.
That's my reasons and do some preliminary work, and we haven't gone out there to play bocce yet, but we're planning on doing that soon. But I represent tonight the Ministerial Association, which also means that we represent many, many people in the community that pray for you often, and we want to thank you all for your service. And so tonight's been a great night of celebration, and even on 9/11, as to how wonderful this community is. I've come over from the Valley. I've been over here over 9 years, and I'm thankful to live in such a beautiful place, and part of the reason for that is because of you folks and all the time that you all give, and so thank you very much for serving us. Well, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for another beautiful evening in a place that you have allowed us to live in, and we thank you for these servants, all the folks that volunteer, all the folks that volunteer their time and their efforts, their talents and their treasures. Lord, as we've looked from library to firemen and across the board, we live in a great community. But, Lord, we lift up this community to you and ask that you would bless them. We ask that you'd bless the efforts of our city council for our fire department and our police department and those who serve us. Lord, those who put their life on the line every day for us, we ask that you would place your hand of protection on them. And for those who serve on the council and others, we ask that you would give them wisdom. And for all those that volunteer, we thank you, Father, for a great city in which we can love freely and serve you freely. And so again, thank you for this opportunity to be in this great place. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for serving us.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. My name's David Vince, and I live in 3F Meadows. I'm here to comment on the June 30th, 2012 investment report. You show that you have $54,660,000 invested of the city's funds. And the thing that is really alarming to me is that 59% of that $56,660,000 is in LAIF. And LAIF is the lowest performing asset in that. They're paying you 36/100 of 1% adjustment could bring you $96,000 more a year in interest income. And there's a few errors in that staff report that the staff should make sure that doesn't occur anymore. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Kirkland. I live in Atascadero. I've lived here for a long time. And as a taxpayer and a concerned citizen, I just want to speak to the traffic way underpass. They've been doing construction on there for over a year plus, and they just now ripped out the sidewalk that they had put in. I don't know why it takes so long to put in two sidewalks. They're doing wonderful decorative work, and I can see that possibly someday down the road it will look nice, but I'm hoping that they could just put in plain sidewalks so people can use it instead of having the cones and it all torn up. It has stayed torn up for over a year, and it's impassable at the moment. It's close to children's traffic, and it's a hazard for cars driving with kids walking where they shouldn't be. So if we had sidewalks, it would be beneficial. Thank you.
Thank you. Russ, could you comment on that? I think we've brought this up in the past, and I think all of us do get contacted on this on a regular basis and explain that that's not really a city project and what the problems are there.
Right. Those improvements are part of the Highway 101 project that is a Caltrans project. It's all in Caltrans right-of-way, so it's not a city project. We have talked to the Caltrans project engineer several times, really expressing the same concerns about pedestrian and bicycle safety and the slow pace of the project. And unfortunately, there's very little they can do. I mean, the project has a very long contract term, and they don't have the leverage to make them perform faster than they are. But that sidewalk did come out because after it was poured originally, they realized that it didn't meet ADA standards, so they had to take it out.
Right. Thank you. I just want to reassure everybody out there that Russ and the city, we're on top of that, and we're just as frustrated as you are with it. Next speaker, Mike.
Mayor Kelly, Honorable City Council, great city staff. Rental then. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Paskin, and I'm a resident of Atascadero. I live near Oak Ridge Estates on San Marcos Road. As I have said in the past to the council members and the city, San Marcos Road and the road leading up to it, Los Altos, are both very dangerous roads filled with many blind curves. The middle of last month, our community experienced a close call. The daughter of one of our neighbors in Oak Ridge Estates swerved to miss a flock of turkeys and went off San Marcos Road and rolled her vehicle. Fortunately, a small oak tree stopped the car from rolling down the hill, and gratefully, she was spared serious injury. If she had gone off the road just 15 feet sooner, there would have been no obstructions, and she would have ended up 100 feet down a steep hill, and who knows how many times the vehicle could have rolled. If she went off the road just 20 feet further along the way, she would have flown into the neighbor's house below. The car was towed away, and this glass and debris is what was left. The flock of turkeys could have easily been another car or someone walking their dog. San Marcos and Los Altos roads were originally cut through willy-nilly without any thought to long-term usage. It is this short-term thinking that has caused so many troubles in the past, and now we're dealing with it. I'm sorry, it has caused so much trouble in the past and in the future, and now we're dealing with it currently. I'm asking you, the city and the council, to work with us, the Oak Ridge Estate neighbors and San Marcos neighbors, to convince the developer to abandon the road he is building down to Paradise Valley. If this road is completed, it will be virtually unusable, and emergency vehicles certainly will not drive it. Instead, we want the developer to shift his resources to cut a road from Oak Ridge Estates directly to Highway 41. This proposed road was in the original plans but was removed. It needs to come back. I know you have a lot on your plates and very little time to consider every road issue, but please realize we are dealing with a ticking time bomb. This time, a car was the only casualty. When new construction begins and more traffic pours onto these ill-conceived roads, there will be a next time. And do not mistake me when I say we will hold the city responsible. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Plaskett?
Hey, good evening. An equal amount of money that the city spent helping the developer downgrade the intersection of SR 41 and Los Altos Road, the city spent almost $10,000 to back the developer to downgrade the safety at that intersection. And I would like the city to spend an equal amount of money on a safety review, traffic safety and emergency review of that area for a consulting company that's picked by the residents of 3F Meadow. This wasn't a rhetorical question, and I really expected somebody from the city to get back to me either with a yes or a no. So I would like someone from the city to at least in writing let me know what the city's response is. If you can spend $10,000 to support the developer, I mean, it seems that if you're a volunteer in the city or you're a developer in the city, you're very welcome. But when it comes to citizen safety, as my wife reviewed, it seems that you fall a little short. Okay, and I hate to be, you know, we hate to come in here and bring something up. I mean, it's been a very nice evening. There's great things happening in the city. We love living here. You know, the new library is going to be fantastic. My organization made a large donation. I try to work for the community and not, it's sort of, less visible ways. So we hate to come and be downers tonight, but we feel our safety is being jeopardized. It seems that when the city wanted to put a Walmart in, they found the money. Okay? But the money doesn't seem to be there to protect the citizens of Atascadero. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. My name is Melissa Peters, and I'm from the Tobacco Control Program. Today, I want to bring to you guys an update from our most recent tobacco compliance check. The Tobacco Control Program would like to thank those stores that refused to sell to the minor in a recent tobacco compliance check conducted with the Atascadero Police Department. Out of 25 stores surveyed, only one store sold tobacco to our minor, and we did a complete survey of all the stores in Atascadero. The Atascadero retail community has shown a commitment to keeping tobacco products away from the hands of minors, and that's reflected in their consistently low sales rates. I would like to publicly mention at 7135 El Camino Real, Circle K Food Stores at 6930 Morrow Road, Circle K Food Stores again at 4381 El Camino Real, the San Anselmo 76 Station at 6105 San Anselmo Road, the Atascadero Shell Station at 9155 San Gabriel, Shore Service at 6700 El Camino Real, the Arco AMPM at 6100 San Anselmo Road, the Albertson Supermarket at 8200 El Camino Real, the 7-Eleven store at 8000 El Camino Real, the Atascadero Gas and Mart at 6280 Morrill Road, Discount Cigarettes at 8457 El Camino Real, Paloma Creek Market at 11250 Viejo Camino, Long's Drug Store at 8320 El Camino Real, El Camino Liquor at 7430 El Camino Real, the M&M Smoke Shop at 7323 El Camino Real, Rite Aid at 7025 El Camino Real, the Club Smoke and Hookah Lounge at 7489 El Camino Real, Cigarettes for Less at 4060 El Camino Real, and finally, the 7-Eleven at 200 El Camino Real. The only store that sold to our minor in this check was the 76th Station on Morrill Road. Those stores that were sold were offered, that stores that did sell were offered an educational training program provided by the Tobacco Control Program. Those stores that did not sell were recognized in a mailer that was mailed to their business. Hopefully I get a little pause from that. Their business location, and each received a postcard that congratulated them on their refusal to sell. We hope that future tobacco compliance checks result in this very low sales rate, the second lowest in the county. So I'd like to congratulate all the retailers on that.
Thank you. We're very proud of the businesses in our city. The city council have worked over the last couple years to let them know that we do require them to follow the rules, and if they don't, we would put some consequences in there. So I'm very proud of what we did. We had a 96% compliance rate, and I think when I went to school, that's an A.
That's definitely an A. And I'd also like to make note that none of this would be possible without the cooperation of the Atascadero Police Department, and they've done a pretty awesome job making sure these checks get done on a consistent basis. So I'm only 50% of the work, really.
Great, and we're very proud of our police department.
Holiday lighting program that the city is putting on, which is November 30th, so I invite everybody to come and enjoy our downtown after the lighting ceremony, come and enjoy our business. Buy the bracelet for $10, or you can pay $15 and also get a Main Street wine glass and come and see what wonderful businesses we have in our downtown and enjoy the community. Any questions? I didn't see any of you this last time, so hopefully I will see you. Oh, excuse me. Yes, I did see Mrs. Fonzie. So hopefully I will see some of you there on the 30th. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shannon?
Good evening, Jim Shannon, Atascadero. I second the last speaker. It was a nice evening last Friday night. Not that I partook in any of the wine drinking, but just going downtown and spending a little bit of money in the stores and just visiting and just a great atmosphere. So I encourage other people to come out when the next one comes around. Also, just what a great night it's been with the presentations tonight, and even I missed the stuff outside about the fire trailer and all that with what they had out there. I was late getting here from work, but just some great things going on in our community, and it just proves that. It just shows that it is a good community, and that I was born and raised here, raised both my kids here, and always was proud of my community and still am, and even tonight even makes it beam even more. So just thank you for that. I want to touch on Mr. and Mrs. Paskins, too, and their issues that they had up there with the road. I do wish that you guys would look into an alternative road in there. They've been coming and speaking often about that, and I'm sure they're really frustrated. If there's anything that Public Works can do to look into that, to look at a different option, I don't know. As for the roads, I know that those roads were built many years ago. I can remember going up there in high school at 3F and was the other Balboa years ago, and we were in high school. Those were the party spots. So those roads have been here back in the early mid-70s, and you guys took some of that stuff on when you became a city in 79, so some of that's beyond you. There is issues that need to be fixed there, but that's not the only dangers in roads in town. I mean, you can pick out many, many streets in Atascadero are dangerous. I live on Palm Avenue, and people park on each side of the road there. It's a very narrow road. There's no way you can have two cars pass when there's two cars come together, so you either have to wait for someone to go by or whatever. So, and that road's heavily traveled with school now because it's kind of a thoroughfare from say, San Ysidro or Northern El Camino to cut across to get to the junior high, that and Olmeda as well. So I feel their pain, but they're not the only ones that have issues with streets. There's many streets that way, so they're not unique to their problems. And, that could happen. There's accidents.
Next week we can sit down and kind of see where we're at and try to work the things out for the best of everybody, because you have been coming here for 3 years, and, we're here to help you. Fine, thank you. Next on the agenda is public hearings. We have no public hearings this evening. Management reports.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. When I was listening to all of the previous items we've had on the agenda tonight, I was thinking that This next business item is very appropriate and in keeping with the spirit of the meeting in that we've got a wonderful public-private partnership being offered to us by a new group that is newly formed called the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo. And this is a group of dedicated volunteers and community partners who've come forward to the city of Atascadero and are offering their help and support to help us enhance the Charles Paddock Zoo. So the recommendation this evening is to approve and authorize the city manager to execute the proposed agreement for services with the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo. And to give you a little background, we, as I mentioned, have had a group of concerned citizens and interested volunteers come forward and say, we want to help the Charles Paddock Zoo move forward into the future. As you know, the zoo is unique to cities. There aren't many cities in the United States, particularly of the size of Atascadero with 28,000 residents that have a zoo. And as such, it is one of those city services that we're always challenged to adequately fund and maintain, particularly as we go forward into the future and maintain our AZA accreditation status, which it is so important to the zoo. This group of people have offered to help us develop additional resources to improve the zoo. And for many years, as you might know, we've enjoyed a relationship with the Central Coast Zoological Society, who've been a friends type of organization for the zoo. The city's agreement with the society terminates at the end of this month, and the Zoological Society of San Luis Obispo County has decided that they will dissolve. And some of these members of the society are going to join with the newly formed Friends Group. The Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo have recently gotten their papers from the IRS, giving them their incorporated number of equipment, and help us market and promote the zoo as well. They will also help with zoo education. The Friends will solicit and manage memberships. As you may know, the Zoological Society of San Luis Obispo County sold memberships to their organization so that their members could get into the zoo free, and we had reciprocal arrangements with other AZA institutions, such as the Santa Barbara Zoo, where they were able to get in either free or at a discount. The Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo are proposing to perform much the same type of function in that they will sell memberships to their Friends organization, and under this agreement, the city will allow that, and then we will split the gross receipts from the membership sales between the Friends and the city of Atascadero. The group will also provide funding for education programs and promotions as is financially feasible. And the reason I mention it and put it in those terms is because the real reason they're coming together is primarily to help us with capital improvement funding. As you know, all of you have been on the council for a good while now. We're able to fund general fund operations of the zoo and keep the zoo going on a day-to-day basis. But one of the things that we're really challenged to do is make capital improvements to the zoo, particularly the types of things such as animal exhibits, which need to be upgraded and modernized, particularly to keep our accreditation. And that's something that's very difficult and expensive. You may have seen news articles about other zoos in California, such as Santa Barbara and the Fresno Zoo, where they've spent millions of dollars on just one new animal exhibit. And much of our infrastructure and exhibits at the Charles Paddock Zoo are outdated and need to be upgraded on an ongoing basis. That's why we have the wonderful zoo master plan that we have, which gives us a blueprint, if you will, to the future, and we can phase in improvements to continually modernize and upgrade our zoo. And that's something the Friends are offering to do in partnership with the city, and we're very pleased that they've come forward and have offered to help us do that kind of fundraising work to enhance the plant, the physical plant of the zoo. They have agreed to operate, staff report tonight is 5 years. Some of the city obligations under the agreement would be very similar to our arrangements with the former Zoological Society. We will provide office and meeting space for the Friends and pay for utilities and their telephone service for their use of those spaces. As you may know, the Society occupied office space at the Ranger House. The Friends group will occupy office space in the new admissions building, where they will be right next to our admissions window so that they can service the members right there on the spot. And it'll be a lot more customer friendly having those services in co-located there in the front entrance. The city will allow, as I mentioned, the Friends to sell memberships and receive free admission to the zoo during normal business hours. And I mentioned our split of those revenues. The city will cooperate with the Friends when they want to do special events and fundraising activities on zoo grounds. We're more than happy within our budget and within our means to help them with equipment and supplies and keeping the zoo open perhaps longer for special events and things like that. And that would all be subject to any budget constraints that we might have, but we would do our best to work with them on their events and activities. And I wanted to also mention, and I didn't mention this in my written staff report, but I talked about AZA earlier, the American Zoo and Aquarium Association, and our accreditation. It may seem kind of surprising, but I was telling Mr. McKinney that we're about ready to receive our AZA accreditation application. We're anticipating that we'll get that paperwork, which is usually a couple of binders about 3 inches thick, this spring. And it will be before the accreditation board again in 2014. So one of the things that this partnership will do with the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo is put us in a better position with AZA, because as you might recall, one of the things that they found us to be a little bit weak on was our public-private sector support. In years past, they wanted to see a more viable fundraising arm out in the community helping the zoo, and I think we're going to get that with partnership. We'll probably, over the life of this agreement, the 5 years, result in more than $250,000 for the zoo. Quite honestly, I think it will take at least that much to help us, you know, reach our goals and make some of the capital improvements per the master plan. And so that would be sort of what we're shooting for, at least as a minimum. And with that, I'll conclude my report and answer any questions, if I may. And Mayor Kelly, I just wanted to let you know that Dr. Steve Robinson and Dr. Mark Edwards are here from the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo. And if you have any questions that I can't answer, they are officers of the, and perhaps they could address questions as well. Thank you.
Dr. Robinson, would you like to make any comments on this? I know you were very instrumental in putting the, yes, please.
Council members, if approved, I think that this would be a great step forward for the zoo. As Brady mentioned, some of the problems that have been ongoing between AZA and the Charles Paddock Zoo have revolved around the association with the previous organization. And while I think that organization tried very hard, I think there were some things lacking, and I think that we can improve on that. And I think also that the zoo represents an incredible asset for the city. Like Brady said, there aren't many cities this size that have a zoo. Bless you. And I think that the true value of the zoo isn't like the gate receipts or anything like that, like the memberships, 50% shared. I think what matters is the number of people that it can draw. I mean, it represents one of the few areas that the city can grow in, draw people here. You're talking about a new motel, get people here to spend money, visit the shops and things like that. I think as the zoo improves and as the visitation to the zoo improves, that would benefit the city dramatically.
Darrell, and the zoo was by far number one. So good. I really look forward to your expertise and the dedication that you've given to the zoo and the animals over the year, and look forward to a very progressive program for our zoo. And I want to thank you for your efforts. And I'll look for a motion from one of the council members.
I'd like to move. Okay. If there, I will.
Oh, I'm sorry. Public comment? Oh, here we go. Mr. Shannon, please.
Jim Shannon, Tascaro, definitely all for this. Again, lifetime resident, and that has been an icon in the city for many years, and what an honor that would be to Charles Paddock to continue this kind of service. Again, a community coming together, what more could we ask for? So, yeah, no, this is a no-brainer. Not many times you get that, but this is one of those. So please approve this and let them get to work. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to comment? If not, I'll close public comment. And Tom, did you?
Yes, and I think I'd speak on behalf of all of us. We consider the whole Lake Park Zoo Memorial the true gem of Atascadero, and is a center not only for our community but for really the whole region. And many of us knew Charles Paddock and was a my Boy Scout leader, as I often say, and was an admirable person. And we are glad Jerry Clay also fought to keep his name on that zoo. And so with that, I thank all of you for coming forward on this and move that we adopt staff's recommendation.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember, oh, my lights, am I, hear me there? Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley.
Yes.
Mayor Kelly.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Well, once again, thank you, everybody. Next on the staff report is the City Council consideration of a public statement regarding the litigation filed against the city on the Walmart project. City Manager, I believe, will be giving the report.
Mayor and Council, thank you very much. There is significant community conversation about the Save Atascadero lawsuit in the Walmart project. Obviously, the community has been wrestling with this project for some 6+ years, and of course, the City Council and we at City Staff have been through it most of that time. So we know that there is a significant community discussion, and we wanted to bring this item to the City Council agenda so that you, too, could engage collectively in this discussion. So the five of you community is in a discussion about this particular event. So we did really just raise it to try to facilitate your discussion. We did provide somewhat of a framework of a viewpoint that the city clerk has available if other people would like to look at it. It is sort of a restatement that that you have been through a long process in developing the Walmart project, and that you're concerned about the lawsuit and would seek to have your neighbors not sue you. So potentially you could have a discussion, and if you want to do something like this, perhaps start with this as a framework or some other direction and begin some edits.
Okay, we'll just take a minute and look this over. I haven't seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
We should have had this before, Wade.
Right.
So could you analyze it?
Marcia?
Yes.
Would you be prepared to read this? I think if it's going to be part of the file. Oh, you're handing it out? Okay.
Okay.
We did provide or make a bunch of copies so people could look at it, and we could put it on the screen if you want.
Reading it into the record is a good idea, I think.
Should I have them read it?
I think so.
Okay. Marcia, I think if you could go ahead and probably go ahead and read it that way, it'll be in the record and recorded that what the city council is actually reading.
We are very disappointed by the lawsuit filed by Save Atascadero challenging the city's approval of the Walmart Annex project, and we are discouraged because it prevents the people of Atascadero from moving forward. Over the last 7 years, we've dedicated thousands of hours of staff time to hold 14 public meetings and hearings on this project. We've been dedicated to providing extensive information and opportunity for comment through the internet and at City Hall, including the draft environmental impact report, partial recirculation of the draft environmental impact, $90,000 in retail sales tax revenue annually, funds that could be used to enhance the quality of life for our residents. The SHIELD initiative put voter support to the Walmart project. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. The SHIELD initiative put before voters by the opposed Walmart group was soundly defeated and showed 68% of voter support for the Walmart project, a clear validation of support. Beyond the economic drain, thousands of trips by local shoppers to Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Maria create a serious impact on the environment. The members of the City Council have been involved with this project since its inception. Some were already council members at the time. Others were seated on the Planning Commission when the first Walmart proposals were presented. Public input has modified the original proposal to a project that the overwhelming majority think is good for Atascadero. We understand and respect that the City Council is responsible for discerning the public's wishes on any municipal project. We also understand and respect that we are required to fulfill, to the letter, the legal requirements associated with such projects. We have taken these obligations seriously and have accomplished both of these tasks, and we think the people who are suing Atascadero know it. We are disappointed and discouraged because the Walmart Annex project clearly has the support of an overwhelming majority of the people of Atascadero. Let's work together to move ahead for the betterment of our city.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll bring it back to the City Council for any comments before we open it up for public comment.
Okay, well, I think something in there about the number of jobs that the potential jobs that we're losing, so to speak. Certainly Walmart's indicated that 300 jobs would be just in the Walmart complex itself, and that's not included, the Annex project. Obviously, if a Walmart is built, we're going to get other stores moving in there, and the potential is for at least 450 jobs, and, everybody knows that money turns over seven times, right? I mean, people make money, and it turns over and over and over. So the loss of jobs is a terrible thing. I know Keith Mathias, about 2 years ago, when we decided not to approve Walmart in November 2007, Tom and I voted to move it forward, but the then council voted to stop it. Keith Mathias told me that he could show me that we'd already lost $6 to $7 million, and that's when in return it was a very good survey. So we're losing a lot here, folks, and my concern is the jobs. But I'll stop right there, and I got a bunch of other stuff written down.
Councilwoman Fonsi.
I like the letter in concept. There are a couple of things I'd like to see removed, the main one being the word discouraged. It's used in this letter several times. I don't feel discouraged. I think the other members of the council may not feel that as well. We're disappointed, but we are not beaten down. We are going forward, and we're going to fight this. So I'd like to see that word discouraged taken out.
And the word disappointment
we
inserted.
Are disappointed that they have filed this, but I don't believe we are discouraged. I'd like to stop calling this the Save Atascadero lawsuit. It's a little bit confusing because it implies that we're supporting the Save Atascadero lawsuit when we use that term, that we may use the Walmart litigation or the Walmart Annex litigation, but I don't want to mention Save Atascadero because they're not going to save Atascadero. They are bringing Atascadero down.
Maybe we should call it the Kill Atascadero initiative.
Maybe we should. And I would like to mention, in addition to Councilmember Clay's comments on jobs at Walmart and the annex, the construction jobs that are also lost for the building of this particular complex, and the additional shopping opportunities that are lost from the new businesses that will not arise when this doesn't go through as we hope it did. So basically, I like it. It's a good start. Let's improve it just a little bit.
Thank you. Tom?
Well, I agree with the comments by my other colleagues. I remember being mayor my first time when this issue came up, and I was having such a great time in my hometown first 6 months on council, and then it hit. And it was devastating in our community. It was very divisive, and many of us remember what a negative impact it had on our community, let alone the economic impact. It split our community. And much like then, I think we need to face straight on who is for and who is against. I was the only elected official at that time and joined many of my community colleagues in being a ballot signer saying we support moving forward. And there were folks that named themselves on the ballot that they are opposing Walmart. Economically beneficial for our community. If it wasn't a good thing for our community, I wouldn't be supporting it. But we did our homework. It will have a positive economic impact for our community, jobs and income. I believe just the reassessment of the property since Walmart and other developers have purchased it has probably, I think, hit close to $1 million in increased property tax revenue just because of that change. So I think I would like to stand up once again, as I was a ballot signer before. I think we want to put our names on this, and we want to take on directly who is opposed, and let's have that community discussion.
Well, I was disappointed and frustrated when I saw the email that there was a litigation because of this Walmart decision. And I like this draft, and I like the fact that it is the frustration that I'm hearing out in the community. People are saying, well, what's going on? We've had these votes on the DO8. We've had the city council approve it. What's happening here? So this to me, this satisfies my desire to let people know, hey, this is what's happening. This is what we're going through. This is how we're going to get through it. And I appreciate what Roberta had to say, because I'm not discouraged. I might be frustrated and disappointed, but I'm not discouraged. You know, we're a very positive group, and we work very well together, and we as an entire city work well together, as well as a community. And we're going to continue to give it our best. We'll go through the process. And I just want people to understand where we are and where we are in the process. So I like this draft. I like the changes that Roberta had and Jerry had mentioned. And I just think that it's a good start, and I think to do a little polishing. But I want people to know that this is what's happening, and to keep people abreast of what's happening. That way we can all be informed and not let that any kind of indecision or not knowing let that kind of mar or cloud what's going on. But let's just be clear and know where we're going.
Go ahead.
I think your mic is
on. I am concerned. My main concern, and maybe nobody else looks at this, but we are using our reserves every year. And luckily, Wade McKinney kept preaching to us to, save money in the good times and use it for the bad times. But it's going to run out. And I was hoping that the Walmart project would make us whole again. You know, we're cutting into our reserves $700,000-$800,000 a year. Now, three-fourths of this lawsuit, what's the criteria?
Well, the Save Atascadero is designated as an unincorporated association. There's different capacities in which groups can file a lawsuit. That is one of them.
And they have to be a member of the community and so on, own property here and that type of thing?
They need to have standing is what it's called in court, yes.
I see. And, I know that they have that legal right to do it, and I think it's important. But I think it's important that we know the names of these folks. Do you have them there?
According to the lawsuit, I'm looking at the petition for writ of mandate that was filed on August 9th of 2012, and in paragraph 2 on page 2, it reads, Save Atascadero's individual members include but are not limited to Tom Comar, Gloria Boyd, Madeline Rothman, and Ron Rothman, all of whom are residents, electors, taxpayers, and or property owners in the city of Atascadero, end quote.
Okay, and I want to stress that, you know, they have the legal obligation, or they can do that, and I'm not pointing them out for any other reason, but I think it's important that people know who filed this lawsuit.
Thank you. I just want to say I agree with my fellow council members and everything that they said. I think Roberta hit it right on the button. We are not discouraged. If anything, they motivated us a little bit more to go after them and to play the game. And I just want to instill in the community that this city council will aggressively defend our positions about Walmart and do everything possible to get a Walmart into our city. I think part of the economic recovery, not only for Atascadero, but for the nation, is jobs. We have to create our jobs, and I think it's part of the responsibility of the city council to create jobs, and Walmart was a player that came to our town, and I think we're talking close to 300 jobs. And not only that, it's a benefit to the city, but it's the benefit to the citizens of the whole North County. Economic times are tough out there, and I believe when the Walmart issue first came to town, it was stated that the average family could save $2,400 or $2,500 a year. I would venture to say that that might even be a little bit more these days, and they're putting some economic damage on a lot of people in this town by filing this lawsuit. Most of us have been on the city council or on the planning commission, like the letter stated, from day one. I know we've put hundreds of hours, read thousands of sheets of paper on this thing. And
Jim Shannon, Atascadero. Few suggestions for what we can call them instead of Save Atascadero. It could be Sue Atascadero, Slay Atascadero, Destroy Atascadero. Any of them work. I have a request as a citizen, and my voice, I know, speaks for a lot of people in this community, that maybe one of you guys can ask the city, maybe be Warren Frace or Jim Lewis, to, I know that, that Save Atascadero was so concerned about tax dollars being wasted, if one of you guys could ask them to maybe give us a running total at each city council meeting, how much the lawsuit is costing us when it comes to attorney fees, staff fees, papers that's being run back and forth, whatever it is. I want every penny to be known to us as a community to what these guys are costing us as taxpayers. They're really worried about taxpayers' dollars being wasted. Well, let's talk about it. Also want to talk about some hypocrisy with them over the years. Back when there was an election when Mike Brendler and Ellen Barreau were elected, and there was a recall attempt after that. And I remember all these people who were opposed Walmart or whatever, they got up in support of Barreau and Brendler, saying that this was an election that was voted by the people. Well, that was true, and you know what? And they backed off. They pulled back on the recall. But we also had an election by the people. This community voted 70-30 to make no mistake about it, to have Walmart come to this community, no matter how it was written up on their measure. It was about Walmart coming to this community, and 70-30. So if they were all for the citizens' vote back then, they ought to be this time as well. Talk about property rights. A lot of them, again, that came out and supported Bill Arkfeld and all the rules and regulations that he broke to keep his mural, and even the lawsuit that he threatened against the city. A lot of the people that opposed Walmart came out and supported him and property rights and his property rights to do what he wants with this piece of property. Well, Walmart's had that property for 7 years and been paying property taxes for that time as well. So if they're for property rights for that businessman, they ought to be property rights for these as well. That's, again, hypocrisy on their part. Lee Perkins talked about jobs. She even had a march on Kevin McCarthy's office a few years ago about jobs. Well, not to mention the construction jobs that Roberta talked about that would come to the city and the money that would filter into this community from that. Also, the jobs that Walmart would have. So that's another hypocrisy on their part. American Made, they talk about that a lot. And I've been watching these people coming in and out of this parking lot for 7 years now, and most of them drive foreign-made cars. So again, you know, let's look at that. And then the last thing I want to talk about, let's, as citizens, see what we can do about suing these guys like Mr. Comar and Perkins.
Group. It's an anti-growth group. It's a bunch of people that want to stop any kind of development unless it's somewhere else. And I would like to, some way or another, emphasize that it is not a Save Atascadero group. The letter does need to be a little heightened up a little bit. I'd like to see it say that we are resolved to fight this to the end. The people have spoke, and you're going to follow the will of the people. On another quick subject, I'd like to say thank you for the Charles Paddock Zoo. I went on the 4th of July. It was great. Thank you.
Okay, I'll try this again. Hi, Mayor Kelly and everybody. I just want to compliment you all. This is a great draft, and with the revisions that all of you made, excellent. I came up here to say basically a lot about what you've already said. I'll tell you what a compliment it is to our city to have a city council that sticks together, knows what they're doing, puts their back against the wall and says, we're not taking this anymore. I agree with the other speakers and with Roberta. This Save Atascadero, I tell you, it degrades the name of Atascadero to have these people call themselves Save Atascadero. You know, when they were opposed Walmart, at least they were honest about it. But to call themselves Save Atascadero is ridiculous, you know? And I don't think they should be able to do this. To have a population of whatever we have, 28,000 or whatever, and have four people can stop a city from something that all our population, I'll bet we're 80, 90% in favor of Walmart. This is what we want. Like Jerry said, this is what we need. This is what we need. If we've got thousands of dollars to spend on a, you know, defend ourselves, we could spend that on our fire department, police department, public works, streets, everything. When they had the EIR report, Warren Price, he did an excellent job. He brought everything out. Every question those people asked was answered right there. All of us have been coming for 7 years to watch this, saw all that answered. Why these people, why people can do this, why any court would even accept it. Now, obviously, there's some attorneys out there that are going to take anything because, you know what, they're only interested in one thing, how much they're going to make. Win or lose, that's what they're in it for. I'm surprised. This is the most frivolous lawsuit I ever saw. I just don't think it's right, and I agree with, like I said, what you folks said. I'm proud to live in Atascadero. I'm proud of all of you. I hope you stay here forever and represent our city. And we're going to get a Walmart. They're going to lose.
But it is the local something other, you call it, where you have to regional quality board. I want our city to stand up against that and say that we're a local city and we have a right to set the rules for our city. You're our representatives, not somebody from somewhere else. So you can tell the regional quality board or whatever their name is to stick it that you represent us. They don't. Thank you. And stay tough, kids.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor Kelly, council members, and staff. I'm Bob Wilkins. It is very disturbing to hear that Tom Comar and Save Atascadero has filed a lawsuit to stop the Walmart from proceeding with their development. This process has gone on for over 6 years, and many revisions to reduce the size of the store, with their fingers crossed, the No Walmart group agreed to the reductions. 70% of voters felt that we would have a Walmart by now. We need to stop spending needless money when the majority of the citizens, 70 to 85%, are in favor of this development, and the majority of them need to save money and shop locally. Comar complains about the city spending money for road development, but does not mind spending our tax dollars for his selfish goal of defeating this project. He does not put citizens first. This development is necessary for the financial health of this city. Salaries for our police officers and firefighters, and road maintenance. Save Atascadero can be accomplished by the judge siding with the city and citizens that they have adhered to all the EIR rules and regulations and obligations. Better yet, judge, please throw this case out, as every entity has agreed to the reduced building footprint and the overall impact. Judge, we need our citizens to shop locally, save money locally, reduce the carbon footprint of our citizens driving to Paso, as Tom has suggested, with gas at over $4 a gallon? This is not a planning issue, but a union issue. A non-union Walmart.
Aggressively.
Could you turn it up a little bit?
Aggressively. Confront this, okay? Real quick, I'm going to step away from this. I went over to the park and I saw the scaffolding around the Rotunda building. And I like the teamwork I saw today, and it's that same teamwork that put those scaffolding up. And if some of us walked the scaffolding and building homes in this North County, that's jobs. Walmart's jobs, too. And I think the people that are out there struggling for those jobs are, again, that's something we're looking forward to. The people in Walmart Paso looking to come to Atascadero to go to work. I heard about the RITA mandate. I cracked open a few notes and looked at it and looked at some of the guidelines for a RITA mandate. And there are a couple things that stood out at me, and that's the individuals filing being in direct threat or harm or being, you know, hurt. And I didn't see that happening to the individuals filing this matter. And I think that's an aspect of the case that could be argued. Another factor was the fact that a RITA mandate is a failure of you as a city council to abide by a mandatory process. And the mandatory process you did abide by. You went through the channels and you made discretionary decisions. And that's what happens when you're elected to office. The people elected you in the majority, the democratic way. And that's what you did, is you took the people's decision and you applied it to this process over the many years. Those are two elements I saw as I looked over the mandate, you know, filing of a mandate that I don't think this group's going to be able to stick with. I did also hear some comments from friends, and I've heard it over the years, that there's pretty much a puppet organization here, that the unions and the grocery stores are pushing this element to oppose Walmart as a non-union grocer. And I think this is an opportunity to use the courts to unmask this group, find out where their funding come from for some of their organizations, if it comes from those unions, those union organizations. And then there's some more rules you can throw at these people. Counter-sue them. Counter-sue the unions. I don't like the fact that there, you know, a few people can get away with doing this, but start looking at the rules, get in there, dig in, and hold them to the feet to the fire. But more so, let the judge look at the initial filing and see if he can find the frivolous matters in it and the actual needs to qualify a mandate, and have him throw it out immediately. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council. My name is Anthony Falcone. I'm up here just to simply say that concerning the new lawsuit that has been brought up by Save Atascadero against the Walmart Annex project, I do support the City Council making public statements against the lawsuit.
Mr. Mayor and City Council members, and Roberta, God has given you brains and you use it for His glory and for the good of us. I always enjoy you've come up with ideas that are really meaningful and have great depth. Anyway, yesterday I was listening to KMJ, a wonderful radio station in Fresno. I don't work for them. I'm just saying it's a wonderful radio station. And they were saying that California is the 47th most difficult state to do business. And they brought up the reason is because all these lawsuits that are brought against cities and against companies that want to have business. And they say that some of these lawyers, they just like the idea of suing because it's very simple to do. What we're experiencing in Atascadero is, I called it the other day, it's the tyranny of the minority. I mean, we have a democracy in this country. The people of Atascadero want a Walmart so much. All of you have worked so hard for so many years, and yet to think there's some people who are so mean-spirited. I don't know what causes people to be so evil. There's no other word for it. They would rather destroy our city. They would rather go against the will of the people just to prove something. I don't know why. I think they just like the publicity, and I don't know what's behind this whole thing, but it is very disturbing. But yes, we'll not give up. We're going to fight, and I ask all of you to stay here as long as you can. Because for many years I've been coming over here, and those meetings that lasted until 1 in the morning, they may have been entertaining, but they were not very fruitful because we had people sitting up there who have gone on to do something else now and retiring, I suppose. Most of them were government workers, so they get a good pension, they're all right. But anyway, if we had good people in the council, the majority, Walmart would be open already. And this is not the case because they have fought us tooth and nail. But we are the majority. We still live in a free country, but to think that we can endure and suffer and be subject to the tyranny of a minority, it's frightening. And I see this happening not just here in Atascadero, but nationwide. And today is a day that we remember those who perished trying to do good. And I was so touched by this man who saved that lady from the fire on the Bardo apartments. Americans have a great heart. And these people who bring these lawsuits against the city of Atascadero, Walmart, they have big heads and very small hearts. And it's unfortunate. But do not give up. And thank you for kind of bringing us up to date to what's going on. Because I walk.
And while I've heard there's a lawsuit, I haven't actually seen it. But with everything we've been through for 7 years now, I can't imagine there's anything but frivolous stuff in the lawsuit. But your lawyer knows better than I do on that. He's certainly seen it. If it's all frivolous, I would encourage, as other speakers had said, to sue them, put some pressure on them. I agree. They can sue if they have legitimate cause. But if it's all frivolous, that's not legitimate. I appreciate your letter. I don't know you haven't adopted it, but something along that lines, I appreciate it. But I also have one other question. I'm all for Walmart. How long will this lawsuit stretch things out? Thank you.
I think that's a good question. And Brian, would you want to comment on that? I'm sure there's majority of the citizens in town that would like to have an answer to that also.
Well, it's hard to predict how long the lawsuit will take because every lawsuit takes different periods of time. I would expect that at the trial court level, that the hearing would probably be held sometime at the end of this year or more likely early next year before the trial court, the judge. And then if there's an appeal from the ruling by the trial court, that could take approximately a year plus or minus.
So looking at a possible two-year delay?
Well, we're in August of 2012, so let's assume that the hearing at the trial court level was in January 2013. If there was an appeal that it took a year, that would be January of 2014. And again, these are estimates. It could be plus or minus those dates.
Fine, thank you.
Brian, but if there's no appeal after the decision, if the decision is in the favor of the city or in the favor of Walmart, then they have 30 days, right, to do an appeal. If they did not do an appeal, could we move forward at that point?
Well, if there's no appeal within the time limit for the appeal, which I believe is 60 days from the date of entry of the judgment, and if there is no appeal, then the decision by the trial court is final, and there would not be any further delays.
And final could mean in favor of us or maybe one item. What does final mean?
Well, final means that there wasn't an appeal.
Citizen. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. In my opinion, Save Atascadero has lost that concept. The government, you as the city, you have no money. The money that turns on the lights tonight, that is the citizens' money. The money that's paying Mr. Pyrick's bill, that is the citizens' money. Every single dime that is going to do these meetings, to do everything that we're doing, this is the citizens of Atascadero's money. And they're not saving us at all. They're not saving Atascadero. They're wasting the citizens' money. Now, I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I seem to be telling them something that they don't know. And we're fighting an ideology right now. We're fighting people that this has become some kind of a game. That for the people that watch this on television and don't get to see what goes on in this room, council meeting after council meeting, there's the smug smiles, and sometimes it looks more like a locker room than a serious meeting where we're talking about money, serious money for this town, and we're talking about jobs, and we're talking about, as Mr. Clay was saying, the ability where we're going to run out of reserves. This is serious things. This is not, woo, now we're going to file and amendments and whether or not it's going to go on. This is not a game. This is not junior high. And for the people that are at home and are not, have not been watching this and seeing it with their own eyes for the last 7 years, this has been really absurd. And so for the citizens of Atascadero, I encourage you, write letters to the editor. I don't know, Mr. Perrick, what we can do as citizens, if there's anything we can do as citizens, to try and make some kind of an appeal to get it thrown out. And I don't know if you're allowed to tell us that. But as we're sitting here facing this go on until 2014, and these are more jobs and more of our citizens' money that is going to be lost and wasted, I ask you, Mr. Mayor, what can we as citizens do? Anything, please, can you tell us?
I think exactly what you're doing right now, and come up and support us. This city council, as I mentioned earlier, will aggressively go after this and pursue it. And it makes our job easier when we know that the citizens in the community, like yourself, are...
And I'm just here to briefly show my support for the city council coming out with a public statement against this ridiculous lawsuit. For 7 years, both sides have spoken. Everyone's had their chance. We've gone through the process, and you've made the right decision, and the decision's been made. And it's fabulous to see that none of you are planning on giving up anytime soon, because we need a Walmart. We want a Walmart. We want jobs. We want tax revenue. We want to make Atascadero better. We want to save Atascadero. So, again, thank you for continuing this fight and for being willing to produce a public statement against this.
Fine. Thank you for your support. Is there anyone else that would like to make a public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the city council for comments or a motion.
Right. Well, I'd just like to make a comment. I think that we on our draft letter, we don't need to minimize things, you know, like the 300 jobs. It's really not 300 when you figure Walmart alone will have 300 positions. That whole area out there will expand. I'm thinking it's more like at least 450 or so. And the other thing is, you know, when Oppose Walmart was putting out all this poison about working at Walmart, I took it upon myself to interview about 20 Walmart workers. They didn't know who I was. I'd go up to Paso. I'd ask them, you know, how long they'd been with Walmart and how they like working with Walmart. And 19 of them said they loved working with Walmart, 19. And that was the word love come out all the time. One lady said, I have my good days and bad. But they pointed out profit sharing. They pointed out bonuses. They pointed out the fact that they could they have a discount there of 10%, and they also pointed out that a couple of them had serious illnesses, and they said that Walmart stood by them and that their insurance helped them a lot, and they stood by them and hired them back for some very serious medical problems. So stock options, it's not a bad place to work, folks. And one little lady was there that was doing the greeting, and I asked her, I said, it's none of my business, but how much are you getting paid? And she said, I get over $12 an hour for greeting. And she'd been there a while. But anyway, let's make this letter as strong as possible.
Did you want to comment on the letter, or?
I think I already have. The word that I keep hearing over and over from the audience is the word resolve. And I think that word is something that we all share. If I'm
example that needs to be restudied, and it could come back to the council at that point and to the city for that additional analysis.
But that doesn't change the decision that we made to approve the Walmart, correct?
Well, what it does is it means that there would have to be the further study done by additional review from an environmental standpoint. That would most likely then have to go out for public review and comment, and then it could come back to you at a future date.
So then we would reconsider and vote again on it, or how would this go?
Potentially, like I say, it depends on what the ruling by the trial judge is, but assuming that it is a ruling that states that there was something else that needed to be done or some additional review that was required, then that's the process as I've described it.
Okay, thank you. And one last thing, I'd like to put something in somewhere that we're hopeful that Walmart will hang in there with us as we fight this.
If I could, let me give an either or. If I could start capturing some of these changes, I think some of the things you've talked about are simple. If we're talking bigger concepts, then perhaps we should take that, redo a letter, and try to bring it back to the next council meeting. If we're talking more simple changes that you can see and potentially agree, for instance, you had indicated that you didn't like the word discouraged. Councilmember Sturdivant had used the word frustrated. Maybe that in the first paragraph could be exchanged. Councilmember Clay talked about the jobs. In the sixth sentence, or the sixth line, excuse me, of the third paragraph that ends in quality of life of our residents, we could add a sentence like, the project is expected to bring 507 local jobs, according to our own staff work. If you wanted to change from a defensive to offensive position to use the word resolve that you talked about, potentially in the second from last paragraph where it says we are disappointed, and we don't want to use disappointed, instead say we are resolved to see the Walmart project through. Clearly the project has the support of an overwhelming.
I like the word determined. Rather than resolve doesn't get it from me.
Well, I was just taking yours.
I'm okay with determined.
The will of the people, because I think that phrase is very important. We are representing our community. And one thing I do appreciate when Mr. Kumar speaks to us, he always clarifies that Save Atascadero, and he says, formally oppose Walmart. And the leading sentence where it says, Save Atascadero, I would like to insert / formally oppose Walmart.
I agree with that 100%.
It's very clear who we're talking to. Yeah. I personally, of course, we will have our five names at the bottom of this. Mm-hmm. And I think we understand, I'd like to be very explicit, that we're really not writing this letter to most Atascaderoans. We're writing this letter to a very small minority in our community. They have named four individuals and others, and I think it's fair to limit our direction responding to this lawsuit of the folks that signed their name to it. Well, we can respond to them signing our names to it to a minority that is taking our city on.
One other thing, the cost of fuel in regards to going to Paso, San Luis Obispo, and a lot of people go to Santa Maria too, by the way. I wonder, that was mentioned by the public here.
Well, there's clearly a lot of, obviously there's a lot of issues. We had an EIR stacked this high. To make your letter effective, you're going to want to, you know, lead with just a few issues and not hit everyone.
You're right. Keep it simple.
Right.
Okay, I agree.
Brian, did you have any? No, I just was agreeing with the concise, as clear and concise and short as possible to just get our point across so people know where we stand and what's going on.
Hey, Wade, could we, do some highlighting or bullets type thing, you know what I mean, rather than just, you know, some people, they'll only read the first line or two of each paragraph. Could we do something that to enhance the letter?
If you want me to try to do that, bullets or something, perhaps I should just bring it back.
I'd rather you do it.
Right.
Put the bullets in the way you want them and don't bring it back.
I agree with all the comments that have been made, and I would like to get a motion to approve the letter with the changes noted, and let's get it out there and go after them. Do I have a motion?
I wouldn't mind entering into that, but I want to make sure that the city manager can tell us what changes he's made.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
So in the first paragraph, and seven local jobs. The fourth paragraph would stay the same. The fifth paragraph would stay the same. The sixth paragraph would be changed to say, we are determined to see the Walmart Annex project through. Clearly, the project has the support of an overwhelming majority of the people of Atascadero. And the final paragraph would stay the same. signed by all five council members.
Did you say 507 jobs?
507. That's what's in the report.
Okay, fine.
Is there a better word? Is there a better word for frustrated?
Yeah, I don't like the word frustrated.
Because frustrated means that you just can't get it done. And
we are not going to be thwarted.
Who's got a word checker?
How about we do this? Go to the second line. Challenging the city's approval of the Walmart project and because it prevents the people of Atascadero from moving forward.
Yeah,
we're working on.
Yes, okay. So it would say. So we would say the approval in that line. Approval of the Walmart project because it prevents the people from Atascadero moving forward.
There you go.
I like that.
But what about?
This is truly a collective work.
You are taking it out.
Okay, I'm finished, folks.
I think I captured it, Mayor.
The last clarification is. Are we obviously all five will have our names signed to this. Are we going to name the persons in this lawsuit as they've named themselves?
I think we named it tonight, and hopefully the paper...
It's in public record if people really want to find it, but we don't know. I need to go there.
Okay. Hopefully Atascadero News will put their names in. It's appropriate for that to be done.
Fine.
Then I move we adopt this.
Can we
this?
Just one more?
Okay.
The very last line on the page. Let's work together to move ahead for the betterment of our city. Let's put the betterment of Atascadero.
I like that.
Go ahead, Tom.
That sounds good. That's a good change. So with that, I'd move we adopt this letter as modified.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem.
including the City of Atascadero, on the subject of medical marijuana. A copy of that report appears beginning on page 91 of your agenda packet. In this report, the grand jury comments upon how medical marijuana is regulated within the boundaries of San Luis Obispo County, and they make a number of findings and recommendations. The city is required by law to prepare a response to that grand jury report. I have been in consultation with the city manager and the chief of police in response to this grand jury report to put together a proposed response for your consideration this evening. That response appears beginning on big page 112 of your packet. 112 and 113 are basically the format which just identifies the who's submitting the response and which findings are going to be responded to. The meat of the response is found on pages 114 and 115. 114 is the findings. The second finding was in reference to the city's having ordinances prohibiting what they call brick and mortar medical marijuana collectives, meaning that would be in some kind of a building. We indicated that we know that we have one in Atascadero that prohibits it, and we do not comment upon the ordinances that might exist in other cities. Finding number four was with respect to business licenses that are required for all businesses. Yes, we do have such a requirement in Atascadero. Finding number five has to do with medical marijuana mobile collective delivery services, and we indicate here that we are not aware of any such services that are operating within the city. And in fact, the Atascadero ordinance, which is found in Chapter 5-13, prohibits both what they call the brick and mortar collectives, but it also prohibits the delivery of medical marijuana within the city of Atascadero, except for deliveries by the primary caregiver to a qualified patient. And I should point out that the city of Atascadero is the only city in the county with the ordinance that does expressly prohibit deliveries of medical marijuana, and none of the other ordinances have that. And you may remember, if I could digress for just a moment, that when you adopted that ordinance, we considered both the federal law with respect, and then finally, the recommendations. There were recommendations 3, 4, and 5. Our response on all these recommendations is that we don't believe that these recommendations should be implemented, because medical marijuana is nonetheless prohibited by federal law, regardless of what state law may provide, and that we indicate in response to number 3, for example, that the city is not going to be issuing business licenses to medical marijuana dispensaries. On recommendation number 4, that we're not going to compile a list of dispensaries because they're prohibited by federal law. And on number 5 is that we're not going to require them to keep records because they shouldn't be in existence at all anyway under federal law. So, in summary, that is the proposed response for your consideration this evening. The recommended action is that you approve either this response or such appropriate modification to it as you might believe appropriate. I'm available to respond to any questions.
Are there any questions? Chief, would you like to comment on it at all?
I don't have any specific comment other than to say that, of course, I work with the city attorney to look over the response and agree with all of his findings and applaud his efforts and the council's efforts previously to deal with delivery-type operations prior to this time so that they're not currently a problem in our city.
Thank you. We'd just like to compliment you for keeping zero tolerance on this, and we do not want that in our city, and it's not going to be allowed. I'll open it up for public comment. Is there anyone that would like to comment on this? Seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back to the City Council for discussion and or a motion.
I make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation.
Second, please.
Second.
Roll call vote.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is stormwater, FEMA floodplain, and wastewater regulations update. I think, Dave, are you going to give the report on that?
Yes. Mayor Kelly,
Council members, my name is David Athey. I'm from the Public Works Department, Deputy Director of Public Works. I want to give you some quick updates about stormwater requirements that have occurred since this staff report was issued. So today I'm going to talk about the Water Board adoption of the stormwater requirements and staff's proposed implementation. So just real quick, Hyder modified a new development and redevelopment in the city. It's going to kick in at 2,500 square feet of impervious surface on projects. This is going to apply both to city and private projects, including new roads that the city installs. And it will require updates of the municipal code and the city engineering standards. So last week, September 6th, staff attended the regional board meeting in San Luis Obispo. We had previously sent comments in August to the water board. The water board received 38 letters and 300 separate comments on their new requirements. There were some positive changes that came out of staff's involvement. The rules are no longer retroactive. So before, these requirements required cities to apply these to projects that had discretionary approvals in place. Several cities spoke at the September 6th meeting and were able to get that changed to only apply to projects that do not have discretionary approvals. Also, projects that are deemed complete have an out now. They can go and petition the regional board executive officer to be relieved of these new requirements also based on economic impacts. The draft regulations also required the city to implement these new requirements in six months. We were able to get that changed to 1 year implementation. There's greater flexibility now for redevelopment projects. The total site area also is limited now to 10% of the total site. So even if you had your stormwater basin and you had to size it and it took up half your site, the new requirements only require you to use 10% of your site. That's very positive for redevelopment projects. Implementation, we'll need to update our standards and codes to apply these new requirements. We'll have to adopt what's called a urban sustainability area that will really help redevelopment projects. Urban sustainability areas, areas where there's high density development, pedestrian oriented, transit oriented development, and there's credits that will be provided to the city and developers for developing in those areas. All this has to be completed again by September 2013, and staff is going to be working hard to get this done in that time period. With that, I'd like to answer any questions you have.
Any questions? Jerry? Oh, I'm sorry.
I had a question.
On the project.
Okay, very good. And the last part of the report dealt with FEMA flood mapping. I was wondering how hard it would be to put a link on our website showing whether people were in a flood zone. I know that the county does that by APN or address. Could we do that with a link?
I'll look into that, and if we can, we'll get that up.
Thank you.
Yes, a question. As you know, I debated this issue of pre-development versus pre-project with water board staff for months, and I think I heard an improvement. I want to just use a local illustration and see if I'm thinking, because I used an example right in our downtown area of showing the problem with their initial perspective. But we have an area, call it an abandoned parking lot across from Atascadero News. You've got pavement down, weeds growing up, it's chained off, it's not used, and that would basically be a project if you were going to, say, change it to and just make it a nicer parking lot, and you could do it all in pavers even, you could significantly improve drainage, and you could significantly improve its use. However, with the old definition, that would not be acceptable because you would have to control runoff to the pre-development phase when it was an open field. And even though you're taking an area that was paved and you turned it into pavers and did some nice modifications, even though you improved less runoff, it didn't meet the criteria compared to pre-development. And that was a near impossibility for cities. And it, if I understand you correctly, they have now said that, okay, you take your best shot and you're only required to expend 10% of the site to try to meet the requirement. And I assume from that maybe you do a bioswale or some form of area that would attempt to catch some of the runoff, but if it you once it hit the 10% limit, you could then go ahead and do a new project and it would meet the criteria. Is that correct understanding?
That's correct. And also with the if you were in an urban sustainability area, you wouldn't have to actually retain any of the water that came off that pre-paved site.
So you could.
Right. Okay. Whoa, here we are. Council announcements and reports. Jerry?
I just want to get the council to approve the 4th of July community celebration that we had this year and approve it for next year so we can go forward.
Fine. Do you want to make a motion for that?
Oh, sure.
Is that something we can do at this stage, make a motion? Hello?
Is it?
Okay.
It's listed on the agenda.
Okay.
What's that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I'd like to move that the city approved sponsorship for the 4th of July celebration event be sanctioned by the council.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. I'd like to add that at our final meeting, why Alfonsi said if the council would approve this, that he would be the chairperson for next year. So we're going to try to hold him to that, okay? Thank you.
Okay,
great. And I'd like to thank the council again, you know. Right. I'm not trying to put any pressure on him, Roberta. You know.
Well, I think that's part of the deal, yeah.
Okay. Roberta, you had item number 2 there.
Yes, I wanted to bring an item to the council regarding the greenhouse gas plan. As you know, the climate action plan is being prepared by a firm hired by the Air Pollution Control District. They brought a draft plan, just the very beginnings of it, to the design committee. There was only 4 or 5 people in the audience, and it was my concern that we had a great deal of public comment when we discussed this at a previous council meeting. I think it would be appropriate to have this go to the Planning Commission and televise this particular item when it comes forward rather than the Design Committee.
I also sit on that committee, and this is a very important thing. And once again, I think it's something that the citizens should be proactive and be informed before it gets implemented. It could have some serious financial consequences on some people. So is there any other comments, or can I look for a motion?
Well, could I just ask a question?
They apparently have used different factors and standards, and their result is they've determined that their gap is significantly less than all the cities that are having action plans prepared by APCD's consultants. So we raised that issue, and they are sensitive, so they appear to be willing to work with the cities to try to make sure there's some equity between how they calculate greenhouse gas impacts versus how the city of San Luis Obispo has done theirs.
Warren, I mean, there's 85,000 people in San Luis Obispo on any given day and a population of 45,000. And my goodness, something's wrong here, you know. I mean, we're this little slow community here that doesn't do that much driving, and they have all those cars. Hopefully we can get that straightened out. It doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, that's exactly the point staff raised with the Air Pollution Control District, so they're going to look into that.
Keep after them.
Great.
Very good. I'll make a motion that the Climate Action Plan be reviewed before the Planning Commission rather than the Design Review Committee, and that it be televised.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes. Yes.
Number three is we had formed a promotion committee to work with our new promotion program, which consisted of myself and Councilmember O'Malley. Tom has requested to be replaced on the committee and by Councilwoman Fonzie, so I'd like to open that up for discussion or public comment.
I was going to say, when we looked at this, we were taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, as a council, and I think one thing we did very well is we got our private sector involved. I was very impressed with the folks in our community that came forward to work on this, and I think this is something that we are all counting on as a council. Economic development's our top priority. Regional tourism is something that everyone agrees on that we can have an increased share in, and evidence of here's another motel right now, very interested in the very things we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see is, I don't know that we need a committee at this point in time. I think this is something that the council as a whole should be involved on until this gets established, but I think very shortly we've got a community of volunteers that are truly experts.
And part of this, I fully agree with you that the whole program is a city council deal, mm-hmm. but I think we do need the two people to participate in the oral review in the hiring process of these people.
I kind of agree with you, Bob, because I think it's important that we got, and I think you and Roberta be great, stimulating the private sector. I think that's important. If we just leave it up to the private sector totally, why, maybe nothing will get done. So I think we need two council members to do that.
Thank you.
Yep.
So I agree. I think two council members is a very good way to go about the vetting out process.
Fine. So I'd like to move that we go with Bob Kelly's recommendation and replace Tom O'Malley with Roberta Fonzie.
I second that. Okay, well, I'll second it then.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Great. Now we come to one of the better parts, the home stretch. Committee reports.
Tom? Well, are you going to... You're going to take yours last?
Right.
Well, we did have a city schools committee meeting. I'm a little disappointed that I think many of the things we hope to see come about with the changes in the downtown school are not in the near future. I think it's something staff need to keep working on. We are very concerned about I think it's a good move on combining some of the grades over here at our downtown school location, but we would like to see some improvement on parking and some of the we certainly want the design to fit into our historic community view down there, and I think there's some things that we need to stay active with. So I think we are planning on having Brian and I continue working in that effort, and I think staff are well aware of our concerns on that. The Integrated Waste Management Authority will be meeting tomorrow. We have a number of things on the agenda. We'll be reviewing and doing an update on the plastic bag ordinance. One concern I have, I'll just raise probably tomorrow, is that though the emphasis is on this having an impact primarily on the large grocery stores, that's been talked about publicly, I have gotten concerns raised by some very small convenience stores. We're talking about some of these almost bait shop that sells a few food items as well in some rural areas that have been approached on with little notice, not the recycling at the curbside, but the buyback center that would allow members of our public to cash in, so to speak. We were able to intervene on that. Mayor Kelly joined me Councilman Sturdivant's absence. We'd set up some meetings to meet with our local waste alternatives. I brought in the manager from Integrated Waste Management. I've also talked with some of our state legislators about some problems we're having with a state-level organization that could do better in helping us with that. So the short of it is we are going to maintain our local recycling for folks, But we need to do some work on that, and I think we'll be bringing that back to council. Something I'll just touch on briefly, and I've brought this up before, is we are in a kind of a winding down on our contract for countywide services in with our waste disposal, and includes our recycling, green waste, all of those things. Often you hear about folks having like 10-year contracts. Companies that are in this business like to have a long-term contract because they have to make significant investment in equipment to go out to bid, so to speak, for managing this business across the city. Well, we kind of started the clock ticking on that a number of years ago because we were concerned about the service delivery and level of service and the cost of service. And so we're now getting close to about a two-year period, and our contract needs to be renegotiated. What I hope to do, and my recommendation, is that we have a number of public hearings on this, that we, as a council, whole council, is educated on these implications and options, and we get some community input on that, and then we really weigh in, because I think it's always good to have some competitive input on this and see what some alternatives are. So that's something that I think as a council we'll be facing in really the next 6 months.
Hey, Tom, could I?
Yeah.
You got a board meeting tomorrow?
Yes.
Could you talk to him about letting the new Board of Supervisors revisit this whole plastic bag thing, period? I'd appreciate it if you'd throw that out. Also, the 10% charge, minimum charge for paper bags is ridiculous. And also the $1,000 fine if someone, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, what's going on here? This is not right. The store should, you know.
Get that in. It might be a better discussion for January rather than tomorrow. However, it's could all be moot in that the state is getting close to having a statewide initiative that'll deal with that.
Well,
but I think what's important is that we look at how do we implement some of these things locally, yeah. And that's where I'd like to make sure we really focus on some of these things that, however way this goes, we protect our local small businesses especially.
Wait till those lines get about 20 people back trying to mess around with them damn bags, and you'll find out what happens.
Yes. Just a question for you, Tom. Since this is being instituted October 1st, who is doing the enforcement on this if someone were to give out a plastic bag or do something wrong? Is it the police department, or who is it?
I see it will not be the police department.
I hope you're not wasting any time gearing up for this.
Yeah, it's going to be a new sting.
Well, I'll ask for that. It will be under the Integrated Waste Management Authority. They don't have the staffing. I think they are looking to local agencies, and I think local agencies might have some concern about that.
Right. Councilwoman Fonzie?
Okay, thank you. Air Pollution Control District is meeting with the stakeholders meeting September 13th, and they're trying to gauge from the public and the members of the Air Pollution Control District what their scope and their work will be in the next 5 years. If any of you have any comments or thoughts about that, you certainly may tell me about those. My take on this is I'd like them to live within their budget and not expand by increasing their fees. So I think that we will comply with the law, but no further if possible.
I think they ought to have one meeting 5 years from now. Okay.
I'll let them know that. Moving on to the City Design Review Committee meeting, the last meeting we did have a member from the Climate Action Plan come and address us, and there were several things that we brought up. Bob can state some of these as well, but the Climate Action Plan had a lot of jargon in it, and personally I find jargon offensive, insulting. I don't like it. Tell me the truth. Tell it plainly that we have to do this because the law says we have to under AB 32. Don't tell me about all the problems with the climate. I will figure that out for myself. So I harped on that a bit, and when the poor consultant talked about everybody agrees that the Climate Action Plan is about the environment, the economy, and social equity, that did me
to go. So we're going to meet again in November, and we'll keep you informed. And last week, Wade and Jim and Brady and Brian and I attended the League of California Cities annual conference in San Diego, and it was a very good opportunity to connect and network with other cities that are facing the same challenges that we're facing. And so with that, the direct interaction is invaluable, because with that, we learn from each other as cities as how they're dealing with the problems, the same problems they're facing that we're facing, and so we can share ideas, get to meet new people, it's a very invaluable time. Wade has something you can share later about something about the Department of Finance, which is just goes right in line with this. And anyway, it was outstanding. There were department meetings. There's meetings for city managers, attorneys, mayors, and city councilmen. They gave us things that are going on right now from a state level perspective. What's going on in cities that we can really bring back, and we can use that in the things that we face here every day. So we have a lot of challenges, and so with networking, with the things that we learned in the classes, and some ideas of what other cities are doing, we can use that in every day to deal with the everyday challenges that we face here in the city. So thank you for sending us, and like I said, Wade's got something to add to that.
Just to add on to that, the Department of Finance recently, within the last month, has appointed a new director over the redevelopment portion of their organization, where they are dismantling redevelopment. And the new director is Steve Zaley. He had spent some time as the executive director of the county CSAC Association, the County Board of Supervisors Association. So we know Steve. And they are, as opposed to the sledgehammer approach that they had previously taken to dismantling redevelopment agencies, Steve has new marching orders to work with the agencies. So the League had a lot of positive things to say about new relationships with the Department of Finance.
Thank you. Most of my committees have been kind of quiet. We commented on the Design Review Committee. Still encouraged by the Design Review Committee. I think it has streamlined a lot of projects in town. It's a much more casual atmosphere where people can discuss, and we can take care of a lot of problems real good. And I'm real happy that we have it and look forward to it working better in the future. The Oversight Board for Successor Agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero, Matt.
Nico and I, we had a great lunch at Kobe Jack's about a week ago. So I want to encourage everybody that goes out of town, if you're going to eat, come on back to Atascadero. And we got some great restaurants here. And spend your money here in Atascadero. It helps.
Okay. Anyone else? The city clerk.
Yes, I would just like to remind everybody that there will be a candidate forum for those running for city council and mayor. And it will be here in City Council Chambers. However, the date has changed. It is now Wednesday, October 3rd at 6 p.m., and the Chamber of Commerce will be hosting it, but it will be here in the City Council Chambers.
Thank you. City Attorney?
I have no items tonight.
City Manager?
No report.
Fine. I'll adjourn the meeting and thank everybody for your time and participation. Good night.